It's 9:07, but it is not Geralyn Steele. It is Shaletta Brundage. I am filling in for my girl, Geralyn, who is off tonight. I'll be here with you until 11 o'clock. And it is, oh, center stage. It is her favorite hour of the show when she is not talking to her son, Michael. Because Geralyn and her family, musical legends and icons in this region. I'm not even going to say in this city, in this region. For their amazing vocal stylings. And then, you know, when they come together, oh, my God, it's amazing. And then they all have their individual projects that they do. It's just like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? You know, Billy Steele is a music director of my church, and Geralyn and Javita are out at the Dakota or, you know, performing somewhere, and Fred is doing amazing things, you know, with the children and youth, and JD is doing that as well, and he goes all the way to Africa to work with young people. And so just what they do as a collective and family in this town is so greatly appreciated in the entertainment arena, and how they bring people together. You know, I don't ever want to overlook, you know, what they have done to bring unity and love in this town. I've been to their concerts many times, and you can see white people and black people and Hispanic people and Asian people and Somali people, and everybody is loving each other, and it's so much light in their concerts and at their events. And, you know, people forget how divided we are. They bring people together, and I know that I'm not the only one to appreciate that, but it needs to be said that the Steels are amazing. And you know who else is amazing? Rob Hillstrom. He's a co-creator of The Last Waltz, and he is here joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Mr. Hillstrom, thank you so much for being here tonight. Now, I know I'm not Geralyn Steele. I know you're probably disappointed, but you're just going to have to be stuck with me, and we're just going to have to hang out tonight and have a good old time.
Oh, thank you so much, Lita, for having me on the show. And no, I'm not disappointed at all. I love the Steele family, though. I have to tell you, years ago, I was maybe 19 and first going out to see the music scene. And I saw the Steels, and I did kind of what I usually don't do, because I'm not like this. But I went up to Billy Steele afterwards, and I was like, man, you're incredible. And he was like really humble and very nice to me. And I thought about that later, and I'm like, you're a musician. You don't do that.
They are absolutely amazing. And he is the minister of music at my church. And Mr. Hillstrom, I have to tell you that at the end of the service, it's hard to leave. Because he's playing so good. Like, the whole church is just standing. It's like we get a free concert at the end. You know how they do the bow. The musicians bow and they go out and everybody starts clapping really hard and they come back out and play one last song. It's like the pastor has to tell us, okay, y'all, go home.
That sounds really incredible. I might have to go down there.
Oh, my gosh. Now, you're doing something amazing. Twin Cities 18th Annual The Last Waltz Tribute Concert is moving to the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul. It's January 27th through 28th with a special new guest, new band Deep Cuts, and stellar lineup of all-star Minnesota players. Tell us all about The Last Waltz Tribute, baby.
Well, I you know, years ago I was doing some session work, and I was out at the old Flight Time Studios out there, and I was outside taking a smoke break, and I'm like, hey, you know, I would really like to do a show that encompasses everybody from the different scenes, because, you know, we have the R&B scene, we have the rock scene, we have the jam band scene, we have all this stuff. And I thought, what if we pulled everybody together? And I had just purchased the Last Waltz DVD like the week before. Back in the days of DVD.
Oh, my gosh, these kids don't even know what a DVD is anymore. My God.
Well, anyways, it's a device we used to watch movies on. Now we watch them on YouTube. And if you get a chance, Google it. And basically what it is the band who used to back Bob Dylan, They went solo and made their own band back in the late 60s and mm-hmm. came out with several hit songs like, you know, The Weight and Up on Cripple Creek and The Shape I'm In and Ophelia. And for their last concert, Martin Scorsese filmed it, and they pulled in a bunch of guest stars such as Neil Young and Joni Mitchell and Neil Diamond and Eric Clapton and Van Morrison, you know, just a stellar lineup of guests. So we have different local and now some people from national acts playing these parts.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, tell me how people can get tickets, because it's moving to the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul, January 27th through 28th, the last waltz tribute. You know, and this is the amazing thing, Mr. Hillstrom, is that everybody is getting back out to theater. Everybody wants to hear some good music. Everybody wants to have a good time. And folks are looking for something fun to do.
Absolutely. These things are starting to pop up again, and I'm so happy to be a part of this and have the backing of all the great musicians that we have on this. We have some members of the band Mo coming out to join us, who is, you know, a nationally known band on the jam band circuit out of, I believe, the Buffalo, New York area. And I also tour with a band called The Samples, and we play all over the U.S. And so, yeah, and who were popular, another out of that scene, very popular right. back in the 90s. Yeah, used to headline Horde and all that stuff. And so, but, you know, now we also have just such a heavy hitters in the you know, locally, such as Adam Levy and Annie Frazier and new people such as, you know, Monique Snaz. And, you know, we got JB coming in. We've got Dylan
yes.
Shelter. We, you know, Kendra Glenn, and, you know, Sherwin Linton from that, you know, I mean, so it's old and new. It's people who have been around forever and people that are just coming out, you know, such as Ruby Blue. And, you know, so it's really great that we are able to bring these people together for this.
That is going to be an amazing time at the Fitzgerald. Now, before you run out of here, let folks know where they can go to get tickets.
Okay, yeah, so you just have to go to the Fitzgerald Theater. And I just actually Google Last Waltz Fitzgerald, and it comes right up. But I know it's also on the First Avenue website.
Yes. And, most of us have that bookmark. You ain't even got to tell us about that one. We got that bookmark because we like to know what's coming up and what's going down. Mr. Hillstrom, I had a good time hanging out with you tonight. Thank you so much for still being on the show, even though it wasn't Geraldine. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much, Lita. Very nice talking to you.
Oh, you as well. Have an amazing show. And thank you so much for being on Still Talking. Y'all don't go anywhere. More Center Stage coming up. Baby, I feel that Matthew French must have been sitting in my house watching me a fly on the wall when he wrote that song. Some days it's just, whoo, Lord, Matthew, you have your finger on the pulse of how folks are feeling. They are going to want to pick up this new album of yours. You got a release party on Friday, the 27th. That is coming up later this week. You are here to tell us about how folks can get tickets. You are here to tell us about that event. But first of all, honey, you're going to have to tell us about that song. Because I had to pop my toes when I heard that song. Sometimes, you're sitting up and you really can't explain it to anybody. Like, sometimes I just feel like driving off in one of these lakes. Sometimes I just feel like, you know, just not getting up out the bed. Sometimes, yes. Matthew. Oh my God, give me the story behind that song.
Well, thank you so much. You put a smile on my face already, and thank you for having me. The song "Some Days," you know, it really came out of the doldrums of the pandemic.
Mm.
You know, it came on those days where it was. You know, some days you just didn't really feel like getting out of bed. And then, mm-hmm. you know, maybe the next day something good happened. And mm-hmm. I wanted to remind everybody that no matter how you're feeling, that you're still loved. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, really something that I try to put forward in my music, that, you know, kind of a hopefulness And certainly that was a time where we needed hope and we still need it now. So I'm grateful that for reactions like you just had to the song.
Okay, now you got the album release party. It's a two-part album, two sides, and folks are already losing their minds over it. The current top albums of 2022. Are you freaking kidding me? Baby, I'm not the only one popping my toes to your tunes, Matthew.
Well, thank you so much. It's been, it's always such a great thing to see how it's received, and I'm really grateful for all of the people that have, enjoyed it, radio stations, you folks having me on, and just grateful to be a part of the songwriting community here in the Twin Cities.
Okay, so it's at the Astor Cafe, Southeast Main Street in Minneapolis. How can folks get tickets? Give me the deets. Who's going to be performing? Come on with it, because, baby, I'm going to tell you something. The way that you sing and write songs, the way that they connect to people, we need more of this. The uplifting, the pouring in. You know, we pour so much of ourselves out, Matthew, that, we don't have anything left. And we're crawling to bed at the end of the day. But your music pours into people. And I think that's why it's resonating with so many folks.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. And, if folks want to be a part of the show this coming Friday, the 27th, it's at 9 p.m. at Astor Cafe. You can make a reservation online at astorcafe.com. Or you can give them a call at the number on their website as well and make a reservation. The show is from 9 to 11 p.m. And, this is the first time I will have been able to perform the full album with a band.
So yes.
I am thrilled.
Oh, so this is going
to
be so much
fun. As many
fun.
People out as we can possibly get in that place.
This is an amazing date night experience. This is a Friday night. It's a bunch of grown people having a good time, loving on each other. You don't have to worry about anything. When we talk about going to the Astor Cafe, that's a good time. How'd you pick this venue?
It's my favorite venue to go and see music. Mm-hmm. If you came there on a random Friday night or Saturday night, you're probably going to see my face sitting at the bar there listening to music. So it feels like home. And I think, I actually did my last album release there as well. And it always
really?
Just feels like such a place where it's my cheers, basically. I want the album release experience to kind of, reflect that as well, and for everyone to come and be a part.
Okay, now we heard just one tune. Tell me more about this album. What are you giving us, Matthew French?
Yeah, it really came. The album was written, some of the songs during the pandemic. Obviously, like, a lot of political tension was happening around those times as well. So you've got some songs that are really just like, how can we come together and, sometimes agree to disagree, but still be friends and love each other.
Mm-hmm,
And then you've got classics from Matthew French that are about love and falling in love as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it really just kind of spans this gamut of like, kind of the gamut of emotion. There's a song, my favorite song in the album, called Man in the Yellow Chair that I wrote for my grandfather who passed away a long time ago. And I never really had a chance to express that in a song until now.
Yeah.
And so the album kind of runs the gamut, but I think an overarching theme is hope.
Yeah. Yeah. And folks need that. We look at the mental health crisis for everyone from teenagers to the elderly we experienced during COVID. And it's because we lost hope. It's one thing when you say we got a pandemic and it's going to be over in August of 2023. This thing is still around. And
yes.
Folks have lost jobs, they've lost their businesses, they've lost their loved ones, they lost their homes. they lost their hope, and you are bringing hope back with this new album. And I just so hope that if people can't get out on Friday, January 27th at 9 p.m. at the Astor Cafe in Southeast Minneapolis to hear you perform for the first time with the live band, that they can pick up your album. Now, for folks who can't get to the Astor, how can they get this album? Where is it? How can we download it?
Yeah, so it's everywhere where you would get your music online, Spotify, okay. Apple Music. If you go to my website, which is mfrenchmusic.com, M as in Mary, frenchmusic.com, and that'll kind of link you out to all the various places you can get it. Or if you like CDs, or this is the first time I've done an album on vinyl, vinyl's available as well.
You so did you the album on vinyl. Oh, look at you. You remember the old school people. We sure do appreciate you. We really do. It has been so much fun chatting with you, Matthew. Best you of too. Luck to you. God bless you and everything you're doing to bring hope to people through your gift, which is music, which is your talent. And thank you for sharing that talent with us. We sure do appreciate it.
And I appreciate you. Cheers, and have a great evening, and hopefully we'll see a bunch of people at the Astor Cafe on Friday.
I know that's right. All right, friend, we'll talk soon, and y'all stick around. We've got more Center Stage coming up. Okay, let me just tell you, I have been waiting all night to talk to this man because we do not talk enough, okay? I'm not sure why. I'm not sure. I don't know. But we don't talk enough, and I absolutely love Rohan Preston from the Star Tribune. He is joining us now, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Let me just say, Rohan, that I was over at your place of business. I have a top secret project coming up, and they had to, and they had to sneak me in the back.
Did they have to take a picture of you?
I'm not at liberty to say. I'm not at liberty to say, but it was a top secret project. And so I went in and I said, where's Rohan Preston's desk? Because I want to steal some paper clips and pens and stuff off of his desk. So if you are missing any paper clips and pens, it's me. And since I wasn't supposed to be in there, they were like, Shaletta, listen, don't post anything on social media. We're trying to, this is supposed to be top secret. I'm not even supposed to be talking about it right now. I said, okay, well, I'm just going to take these pictures of my feet up on Rohan Preston's desk, and then I'll post them when the story come out. So I'm telling you now, I was at your place. I got photographic proof that I was in your desk. I got pictures. I'm like putting up the do sign. I'm going through your desk. I ate your little cheese sticks and everything. I can't put it out right now because I would spoil the surprise that I'm working on at your place of business. But I'm telling you right now, you're going to be so tickled when you see me sitting at your desk. I didn't. Yeah, I know.
Listen, I have to tell you, when I saw your interaction with Valerie Jarrett this past week, I was like, oh my God, oh my God. I was like, could not stop laughing. I said to myself, oh my, you are a treasure. You have such wit, such humor. I just loved it.
I'm surprised I didn't go to jail. I did that with the dang attorney general in the room. I said I lost my mind, Jesus. I know I got no bail money. It's too close to Christmas.
Yeah, we have to tell the listeners what happened. What? Just describe it. You know.
Oh my God, I was, and we were all at the MLK breakfast in downtown Minneapolis at the convention center. And I was crawling around on the floor because the band was coming, and I looked up and it was Valerie Jarrett. I was down at her feet and I couldn't help myself. I just started crying, and she had a snow white pantsuit on. And so I was snotting and crying all over her pants, and I messed up her knees, got lipstick on it. And then I was trying to prove to her that I wasn't the village crazy lady. So I broke into her dressing room. To explain myself. other way to explain how crazy you are not than to break in somebody's dressing room. Oh my god, that was so much fun.
I still cannot stop laughing. I shared it with my wife Angela, and we just laughed the whole day. It was so funny. But it's wonderful. You really are a treasure here, and so I'm delighted and honored to be talking with you. So thank you.
Now, what is coming up in the theater scene? Because I know that I was looking at Regina Marie Williams and T. Michael Rambo and Sanford Moore, yeah. And they got the Hello Dolly coming up, and that's a great way for people to celebrate Black History Month. Give me the scoop on what's coming up and what's coming out, y'all.
Wonderful. Lots of wonderful shows coming up. Corduroy is coming up at the Children's Theater. Blues for an Alabama Sky is at the Guthrie Theater. Sugar in Our Wounds is at Penumbra. Just before the holidays, we had a real big rush of shows.
Yeah.
And now we're having another bulge about to open. Prom is about to open at Chan Hassen Dinner Theater. We just have a lot, and I'm very, very excited. I'm trying to be fortified. I'm taking my vitamin D.
I was going to say, this just means more work for you. How you going to review and go and then come back and produce? You got a lot of work ahead of you.
It's wonderful. It's really wonderful. And very, very keenly, I should mention now, like, this is my 25th year at the Star Tribune. And I have to say, I'm working just as hard as the first year, and I'm still very excited. And I've told my wife that whenever she finds that it looks like I'm flagging or it looks like I'm getting tired or, you know, not as interested, you know, just slap me and
no. But this is the beautiful thing, is that your writing, you know, your production, you know, what you put out there in the paper and what we read online, for those of us who are doing it digitally now, you know, for any production we're thinking about going to, anything we think we want to know, you put it out there in a way that, you know, my teenage son could read it, I could read it, my mama or grandma could read it. And, you know, you're able to speak to the, you know, a multi-generational audience. How do you do that? How do you watch a show that is for children and speak to parents? How do you watch a show for, you know, about young love and speak to the grandmother who may want to go and see this production? How do you base your writing that touches all types of audiences?
Well, I thank you so much for that question, and I take it as a compliment because it is a goal of mine. I remember when I first came out of school and I was writing for a publication in Chicago, and I'd written a bunch of things with lots of big words and all of that, and lots of literary theoretical concepts that I was naming, and my editor at the time, his name is Brian Higglekey, said to me, he said, "Ro, we know you're smart and you know, you're doing this nice school, but you're not writing for like this three other people who are into semiotics, you know, or into post-structuralism. So what your goal is," and I always remember this, "your goal is to invest all your stakeholders into what you're writing." I take that as a high compliment because I've been striving for that ever since, which is to say, to address as many people as possible, increase the stakeholders in what we do. It's really just telling stories.
Okay, let me just tell you, I have been waiting all night to talk to this man because we do not talk enough, okay? I'm not sure why. I'm not sure. I don't know. But we don't talk enough. And I absolutely love Rohan Preston from the Star Tribune. He is joining us now, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Let me just say, Rohan, that I was over at your place of business. I have a top secret project coming up, and and they had to sneak me in the back.
Did they have to take a picture of you?
I'm not at liberty to say. I'm not at liberty to say, but it was a top secret project. And so I went in and I said, where's Rohan Preston's desk? Because I want to steal some paper clips and pens and stuff off of his desk. So if you are missing any paper clips and pens, it's me. And since I wasn't supposed to be in there, they were like, Shaletta, listen, don't post anything on social media. We're trying to, this is supposed to be top secret. I'm not even supposed to be talking about it right now. I said, okay, well, I'm just going to take these pictures of my feet up on Rohan Preston's desk, and then I'll post them when the story come out. So I'm telling you now, I was at your place. I got photographic proof that I was in your desk. I got pictures. I'm like putting up the do sign. I'm going through your desk. I ate your little cheese sticks and everything. I can't put it out right now because I would spoil the surprise that I'm working on at your place of business. But I'm telling you right now, you're going to be so tickled when you see me sitting at your desk. I didn't. Yeah, I know.
Listen, I have to tell you, when I saw your interaction with Valerie Jarrett this past week, I was like, oh my god. I was like,
oh my
I
god.
Could not stop laughing. I said to myself, oh my, you are a treasure. You have such wit, such humor. I just loved it.
I'm surprised I didn't go to jail. I did that with the dang attorney general in the room. I said I lost my mind, Jesus. I know I got no bail money. It's too close to Christmas.
Yeah, we have to tell the listeners what happened. What? Just describe it. You know.
Oh my God, I was, and we were all at the MLK breakfast in downtown Minneapolis at the convention center. And I was crawling around on the floor because the band was coming, and I looked up and it was Valerie Jarrett. I was down at her feet and I couldn't help myself. I just started crying, and she had a snow white pantsuit on. And so I was snotting and crying all over her pants, and I messed up her knees, got lipstick on it. And then I was trying to prove to her that I wasn't the village crazy lady. So I broke into her dressing room. To explain myself. There's no other way to explain how crazy you are not than to break in somebody's dressing room. Oh my god, that was so much fun.
I still cannot stop laughing. I shared it with my wife, Angela, and we just laughed the whole day. It was so funny. But it's wonderful. You really are a treasure here, and so I'm delighted and honored to be talking with you. So thank you.
Now, what is coming up in the theater scene? Because I know that I was looking at Regina Marie Williams and T. Michael Rambo and Sanford Moore. Yeah. And they got the Hello Dolly coming up. And that's a great way for people to celebrate Black History Month. Give me the scoop on what's coming up and what's coming out, child.
Wonderful. Lots of wonderful shows coming up. Corduroy is coming up at the Children's Theater. Blues for an Alabama Sky is at the Guthrie Theater. Sugar in Our Wounds is at Penumbra. Just before the holidays, we had a real big rush of shows.
Yeah.
And now we're having another bulge about to open. Prom is about to open at Chan Hassen Dinner Theater. We just have a lot, and I'm very, very excited. I'm trying to be fortified. I'm taking my my vitamin D.
I was going to say, this just means more work for you. How you going to review and go and then come back and produce? You got a lot of work ahead of you.
It's wonderful. It's really wonderful. And very, very keenly, I should mention now, like, this is my 25th year at the Star Tribune. And
oh my gosh.
I have to say, I'm working just as hard as the first year, and I'm still very excited. And I've told my wife that whenever she finds that it looks like I'm flagging or it looks like I'm getting tired or, you know, not as interested, you know, just slap me and
no. But this is the beautiful thing, is that your writing, you know, your production, you know, what you put out there in the paper and what we read online, for those of us who are doing it digitally now, you know, for any production we're thinking about going to, anything we think we want to know, you put it out there in a way that, you know, my teenage son could read it, I could read it, my mama or grandma could read it. And, you know, you're able to speak to the, you know, a multi-generational audience. How do you do that? How do you watch a show that is for children and speak to parents? How do you watch a show for, you know, about young love and speak to the grandmother who may want to go and see this production? How do you base your writing that touches all types of audiences?
Well, I thank you so much for that question, and I take it as a compliment because it is a goal of mine. I remember when I first came out of school and I was writing for a publication in Chicago, and I'd written a bunch of things with lots of big words and all of that, and lots of literary theoretical concepts that I was naming, and my editor at the time, his name is Brian Higglekey, said to me, he said, "Ro, we know you're smart and you know, you went to this nice school, but you're not writing for, like, there's three other people who are into semiotics, you know, or into post-structuralism. So what your goal is," and I always remember this, "your goal is to invest all your stakeholders into what you're writing." I take that as a high compliment because I've been striving for that ever since, which is to say, to address as many people as possible, increase the stakeholders in what we do. It's really just telling stories. Everything is a story. And how do you translate? How do you relate? How do you, show and have people be invested in what you're doing, what you're seeing? How do you transport them there? They may not see it. They may not ever see it, but they also want to be informed, you know? And so it's like all of that. So thank you.
Well, what are you most looking forward to? We've got a lot of theater coming up this year. I'm seeing advertisements for productions that are coming out in November. I'm like, oh my God, y'all are already advertising for November. But, you know, people are even planning into the Christmas season for 2023. And it seems like we just finished the Christmas season of shows in 2022. So what are you most looking forward to?
Well, there's so much. And I have to say, this is the 60th year of the Guthrie Theater in May. It's their 60th anniversary, and the Guthrie opened back in 63 with a Hamlet. So I am looking forward to what Joseph Hadji, artistic director there, does with this Hamlet. What has happened over those 60 years is that the conversation has broadened. The theater community has become broader, more inclusive. There's talent everywhere. And so when I look at Chan Hassen Dinner Theaters, when I look at Penumbra Theater, when I look at Park Square Theater, when I look at Minnesota Jewish Theater, now it's Six Points Theater, Pillsbury House, Theater La Queda, you go on and on and on. There's so much work that's being done that's really, really lifts up this community. And there's transitions, too. We have a story in today's paper that Peter Rothstein, who founded Theater La Te Da and has done such amazing work there, is leaving for the Oslo company in Florida, in Sarasota, Florida. And so it's going to be a loss. But our community is so much richer for his legacy, and we hope he'll come back. And, you know, likewise, Lou Bellamy is out in Oregon right now directing.
Yeah.
He's coming back to Penumbra with something. Sorry, Bellamy is going to be directing a main stage show.
I know. Is that so exciting?
It's very exciting. So I'm looking forward to that. And there's just a lot. I mean, I mentioned Phil Verhaeghe earlier. They have the Bill Jean stories up right now, and it's well worth seeing. Sharon Bridgeforth's work is poetic and gorgeous. And Amy K. Bryant is a solo actor in that, doing all the roles. There's just a lot. I could go on. I don't want it to sound like a listing, but there's a lot. And of course, Hamilton is coming back in the spring as
Yay!
Well.
That sounds like so much fun. Yeah, you're going to be busy. Get to sleep. Thanks for hanging out. And you thought that Valerie Jarrett breaking and entering was funny. Wait till you see the video I got of me at your desk. That's going to blow you away. That is going to blow you away. But I cannot release it until your place of business does what they are doing with me. Now, when we finish with that, then I can release. So you tell your wife, y'all get you some Depends, because when y'all see this video, it's over. Oh, shit.
I cannot wait. Well, I have to say, again, you really are one of our treasures here. I thank you so much for all that you do. I do. And for just the, humor requires generosity and to have a giving spirit. You know, the humor, your humor is so, it's so wonderful and it's so funny and so, it's a gift, frankly. It's a gift. So I mentioned the Valerie Jarrett thing, but I've seen so much else there that you've done, and you've done with your beautiful family, your caring family. Mm. It's a wonderful, Shaletta, it's a wonderful example for all of us. And, you know, of course, I usually put like or love what you're doing, but I have to tell you this sometimes because I don't comment on it, but I'm cackling.
I see you trolling, just laughing and cackling and trolling. That's it. The great award-winning Rohan Preston from the Star Tribune. We love you. Have an amazing week.
Thank you, too. You have a blessed one, and great, great talking with you.
All right, you as well. And y'all don't go anywhere. We've got more on Center Stage coming up. Oh, my God. I cannot wait to hear Erin Schwab do her thing. Oh, grab a girlfriend. Grab a girlfriend. Grab some tissue because you're going to cry. Get on down to the Capri Theater because the 13th season of Legends at the Capri continues Saturday, January 28th, Sunday, January 29th, an evening with the divine Mrs. E, an 85-minute tribute to Bette Midler featuring Erin Schwab, as she is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Girlfriend. Okay, first of all, are you staggering harlots going to be there? That's what I need to know.
My staggering harlots are going to be there. And
yes,
they are
yes.
amazing.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Emily Villano and the most awesome Kimberly Michaels are going to be my staggering harlots. Both are fantastic singers and entertainers in town, and I'm so excited. I've never had harlots for one of my Bette Midler shows before, so this is very exciting. Dennis Spears was like, "You have to have harlots," and I said, "Okay,
you have to." Okay, said, yeah, it's got to go down
will
like
you
that.
Be one of my, I said, "Will you be one of my harlots?" He cannot. He can't. He's producing the show, so he can't.
I was gonna say he's working. He's doing his administrative thing. I'm
Please,
just
he
so
show up
blown
anyway, I'm sort of a fan.
I'm so blown away by what he has done at the Capri Theater, how beautiful it is, how amazing it is, how he has transformed that into the crown jewel of North Minneapolis. Okay, now, back to an evening, honey, with the Divine Miss E coming up the 28th and the 29th. Give it to me, 85 minutes of Bette Midler. Girl, how you going to do this how you going to do this two nights in a row? Because that Bette Midler girl, girl, you're going to be drinking. You're going to need some fluids. You're going to need an IV drip, girl, if you're going to give us 85 minutes.
I basically am an IV drip. That's the thing you have to remember. I can go. I'm like the Energizer Bunny of cabaret shows. I'm fine.
Oh,
my God. I feel like, you know what it is, too? I've learned, like, she was one of the people that I listened to and really studied the most. I think all of us have that. I mean, I'm sure you have that with any comedy that you did, too. You have those people who you watched and listened to, and you took in all of that information. You were like, I get this person. I feel like I can do what this person is doing. And then the cool thing about her was to see somebody who did what they did the way they were going to do it and not be influenced by influenced obviously by many people. She was influenced by many people. You could tell by her awesome, like, book of music that she puts together, because it's all different styles of music. But once you turn it on and you listen to it, you know.
It's her.
Right?
Yeah, it's her.
And you there's people that are like that just do that. And I think really what that did was, there was also no perfection involved in what she did. A lot of what she did was, like, live and in the moment. And, like, she would sing and her voice would crack and you would be like, oh, I just want to cry with you. You know, you just, her ability to be so vulnerable in front of thousands of people gives me permission to be vulnerable in front of everybody at the Capri Theater every time I perform. You know, it's a really cool thing to be able to do that. You know, to sing it. I love doing her stuff now, because when I first started singing, I sang a lot like her. Right. And now the fun thing is, I've sung so many other things and studied so many things and had so much life happen to me, you know, since I was in my mid-20s when I started singing.
Oh, girl. So
I'm 51 and in the menopause now, so I will sing
baby.
Whatever.
Baby, okay, you know? Baby, okay, and how you want to sing it. Now, look, as a 51-year-old woman in menopause with you, before you get out of here, you got to tell me where I can go to get these tickets, because they are single tickets are only $25 at the Capri Theater to see an evening with the Divine Miss E. And do you have, look, Jonathan gave me all the notes, girl. I can't find, where do we go to get tickets? Can we get them at the door? Do we get them online?
Okay, so this is what I'm going to tell you, is you can get them at the door, but if you wait till that day, they're $30 instead of $25.
Oh, girl, I want my deal.
Capri, it's not, I'm looking it up, I just looked up the wrong one. Here we go. I'm going to get it right now for you, and it's the Capri Theater, Minneapolis. I want to say it right. TheCapri.org. TheCapri.org. That's what it is.
There you go. There you go. That's how you can get tickets. That's how you can get tickets.
Come on. Yes.
Come on, baby. Have a good time with your good girlfriends. Oh, I love it.
Everybody.
Girl, and we got you.
That's my question.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm coming at 3:00 because I'm going to church over there, and then I'm going to get something to eat, and I will see you Sunday the 29th. I'm ready for the show. Y'all be ready. Don't meet me there. Beat me there. And we'll be right back with more Still Talking. Oh, my God. I cannot wait to hear Erin Schwab do her thing. Oh, grab a girlfriend. Grab a girlfriend. Grab some tissue, because you're going to cry. Get on down to the Capri Theater, because the 13th season of Legends at the Capri continues Saturday, January 28th, Sunday, January 29th, an evening with the Divine Mrs. E, an 85-minute tribute to Bette Midler featuring Erin Schwab, as she is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Girlfriend. Okay, first of all, are you staggering harlots going to be there? That's what I need to know.
My staggering harlots are going to be there. And
yes!
They are
yes!
amazing.
Oh my God.
Milano and the most awesome Kimberly Michaels are going to be my staggering harlots. Both are fantastic singers and entertainers in town, and I'm so excited. I've never had harlots for one of my Bette Midler shows before, so this is very exciting. Dennis Spears was like, "You have to have harlots." I said, okay.
You have to. Okay, said, yeah. It's got to go down like that.
Will you be one of my harlots? He cannot. He can't. He's producing the show, so he can't.
I was going to say, he's working. He's doing his administrative thing. I'm so blown away by what he has done at the Capri Theater, how beautiful it is, how amazing it is, how he has transformed that into the crown jewel of North Minneapolis. Okay, now back to An Evening, Honey, with the Divine Miss E coming up the 28th and the 29th. Give it to me. 85 minutes of Bette Midler. Girl, how you gonna do this two nights in a row? Because that Bette Midler girl, you're gonna be drained. You're gonna need some fluids. You're gonna need an IV drip, girl, if you're gonna give us 85 minutes.
I basically am an IV drip. That's the thing you have to remember. I can go. I'm like the Energizer Bunny of cabaret shows. I'm fine.
Oh,
my God. I feel like, you know what it is, too? I've learned, like, she was one of the people that I listened to and really studied the most. I think all of us have that. I mean, I'm sure you have that with any comedy that you did, too. You have those people who you watched and listened to, and you took in all of that information. You were like, I get this person. I feel like I can do what this person is doing. And then the cool thing about her was to see somebody who did what they did the way they were going to do it and not be influenced by influenced obviously by many people. She was influenced by many people. You can tell by her awesome, like, book of music that she puts together, because it's all different styles of music. But once you turn it on and you listen to it, you know
it's her.
Right?
Yeah, it's her.
And you there's people that are like that just do that. And I think really what that did was, there was also no perfection involved in what she did. A lot of what she did was, like, live and in the moment. And, like, she would sing and her voice would crack and you would be like, oh, I just want to cry with you. You know, you just, her ability to be so vulnerable in front of thousands of people gives me permission to be vulnerable in front of everybody at the Capri Theater every time I perform. You know, it's a really cool thing to be able to do that. You know, to sing it, I love doing her stuff now, because when I first started singing, I sang a lot like her, right? And now the fun thing is, I've sung so many other things and studied so many things and had so much life happen to me, you know, since I was in my mid-20s when I started singing.
Oh, girl,
I'm 51 and in the menopause now, so I will sing
baby,
whatever.
Okay,
sing, you know?
Baby, okay, and how you want to sing it. Now, look, as a 51-year-old woman in menopause with you, before you get out of here, you got to tell me where I can go to get these tickets, because they are single tickets are only $25 at the Capri Theater to see An Evening with the Divine Miss E. And do you have, look, Jonathan gave me all the notes, girl. I can't find, where do we go to get tickets? Can we get them at the door? Do we get them online?
Okay, so this is what I'm going to tell you, is you can get them at the door, but if you wait till that day, they're $30 instead of $25.
Oh, girl, I want my deal.
I'm looking it up. I just looked up the wrong one. Here we go. I'm going to get it right now for you. And it's the Capri Theater, Minneapolis. I want to say it right. TheCapri.org. TheCapri.org. That's what it is.
There you go. That's how you can get tickets.
Come on. Yes.
Come on, baby. Have a good time with your good girlfriends.
I love everybody.
Girl, and we got you.
That's my question.
Yes, ma'am. I'm coming at 3:00 because I'm going to church over there, and then I'm going to get something to eat, and I will see you Sunday the 29th. I'm ready for the show. Y'all be ready. Don't meet me there. Beat me there. And we'll be right back with more Still Talking.